face, okay? What are you guys selling?
You're drowning and I throw you a life jacket. Would you grab it? Yes, good. Pick up 200 shares. I won't let you down.
Pay him. Pay that man his money.
Ask them how they'd like to see 30, 40% returns. What are they going to say? No? I don't want to see those returns?
Where's the money, Lebowski?
You're going to make a lot of money, right?
Be aggressive. Learn how to push.
Show him a 3% return, and I'll trust you to watch his kids for the weekend.
I'm a big fan of money.
Move around. Motion creates emotion.
I did not know this.
That's it. I'm done.
Well, I'm up next, Dr. Jackson. I'm out. Mr. Weber on the board. This is Stephanie Koenig as well. SP Futures down 19 and a quarter. Now Futures down 172. NASDAQ Futures down 53. Last night I checked after the Giant Philly game, and we were up three. So, obviously the protests in Hong Kong. Hong Kong has closed their airport due to the protests. That is not a good thing for world travel or whatever. Steph, how are you?
Good, how are you?
All right, the hits just keep on coming worldwide, eh?
Well, they sure do.
It's very difficult to try and even pick a topic, isn't it? And where to start, it's all becoming sort of the same topic. Everything's just kind of one mess after another, it seems.
Yeah, the Hong Kong thing is going to be interesting to see how that one unfolds.
Yeah, I know. What is your... have you ever been there?
I have.
I'll ask, what's it like? I mean, obviously it's a massive thing. It used to be British until 1999, and then it was pushed over to the Chinese, but it's still somewhat of a, not supposed to exactly be absorbed in. It's supposed to be somewhat independent, whatever that means, correct? Well, you know more than me. What was it like when you were there, and when were you there?
I was there, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago, but, after 1997, Hong Kong is an interesting place. You know, it's a very mountainous region, and it's filled with skyscrapers. So it's just kind of a contradiction. Normally, I don't think we'd spend that kind of money to build those buildings, but it was such a profitable place for the British that it made a lot of sense.
What was the... it was just a massive commerce hub in an area that had all kinds of wacky governments and everything, where everything was always safe to do business in Hong Kong. Is that kind of the very simple explanation?
Well, it was a British colony, so you had all of British laws and British rights there, and it basically sits right in China, so on the coast, but in China. And, so when the British gave it back, in theory, to China, the Chinese agreed to allow that part of China now, or Hong Kong, to kind of remain independent. So they vote for their own leadership, and that leadership is influenced by the Chinese, but in theory it's supposed to be independent.
So the start of the current issue wasn't some law that said if somebody is guilty of something and something, they get extradited to China, and it wasn't that what started this whole thing? Something like that?
China tried to enact this law on Hong Kong. And the first time we had protests a number of years ago, and they put it on hold so that, they weren't going to enact the law. And this time they try it again, and it sounds like that they have basically stirred everyone up, and everyone now is concerned that they're going to continue to try and pull the reins in on Hong Kong, which obviously the people are not happy with.
No, and I think it seems somewhat obvious. Well, how obvious can it be for somebody who's never been there? But it's probably the long-term plan anyway in the Chinese. I mean, would be my guess. I mean, it's why they want Taiwan back. I mean, it's not like there are enough people or enough land by themselves, but everybody always wants what they can't have, right?
Well, yeah, I think it's that and a matter of control. If they can't control Hong Kong, then how can they control the rest of their people? So, communism does require a certain level of control to be initiated in order to keep it functioning, right?
Well, one of the most, talk about it, you read something And again, the most fascinating thing about, for me, doing the show with all the terrific listeners we have that call in and so forth, and or dial in or tweet in or whatever they do to Maddie. It's when I read the book George Marshall, Soldier and Statesman. I had no idea that between his work in World War II, being the general of the army, and you know, but he never left the U.S. I mean, he was you know, he's always here, you know, essentially managing the war on all fronts, which was one hell of a job. I'm going to say without George Marshall, we probably, I won't say wouldn't have won, but it sure would have been a lot sloppier. That was Roosevelt's probably single biggest appointment, and whenever he put him in that job in like 1936 to, A, sort of get us ready even though they have any money, and then B, walk us through. But I didn't realize, Steph, and I know you probably were ahead of me on this, you remember him for that, and you remember him for the Marshall Plan, right? In the middle, there was like 2 or 3 years where he actually retired and went home. Him and his wife, of course, in those days, you get in your car and you drive home yourself, right? And he was from somewhere in Virginia. I think he was somewhere in South Virginia. He went to VMI, I think. And he gets home and the phone rings, and it was Truman. Hey, get your car, come on back, basically. They sent him over to China to try and negotiate a truce between Chiang Kai-shek and Mao. And he was there for a year or two. I think his wife went with him, and finally, I think she said, we're not getting anywhere, and I hate this place. I mean, he said it was absolutely impossible. Both of those leaders were totally insufferable. He said Chiang Kai-shek was probably, if possible, worse than Mao. Said it was absolutely impossible to get anything together with those guys. No deal. If there was a deal, they'd back right out of. They were worse than like two Trumps.
Well, they had to be because they killed how much of their population?
Yeah,
a tremendous amount.
Well, I mean,
through famine, you know, and yeah. That means that they were unwilling to change a lot of their policies to support their people.
Well, everybody thinks it was just Mao, but evidently Chiang Kai-shek was just as bad. And he ended up with Taiwan, basically. He fled over there, right?
But that's my understanding.
Yeah.
I'm not history on this part of the world at that time. I'm not 100%.
Well, that's why I was reading these couple of chapters, and I was fascinated. I didn't know any of that stuff. You know, the Burma Road and this and that, and this guy was here, and that guy was there, and Marshall would go spend like a week with Mao trying to negotiate with him, and then he'd go spend a week with Chiang Kai-shek. He was so happy, I think, when they pulled him out of there and said, here, go fix Europe, which is a mess. It was at least it was easier. I mean,
at least you could negotiate.
Yeah, remember Maddie, the lady we had on the show from Minnesota? Steph, this is long before we met you. We had a lady on the show. She had to be, I mean, I'm gonna say in her 80s, wasn't she, Maddie? And she had been, as a young lady, she had been one of Marshall's go-to people on the Marshall Plan in Europe.
Wow.
And it was fascinating. I mean, you get this idea that, I mean, you know, when you're not involved in the history, okay, Europe was a mess, U.S. provided money, the Marshall Plan, let's get Europe back on its feet, let's not just let them be a cesspool forever, let's not revisit the problems of Versailles Treaty. And so my questions to her were, you can imagine, knowing me, I mean, I'm like a terrier dog for information, I said, but what was it like? I mean, we're talking about towns that were sort of decimated, no money, can't have been much food. She goes, every town was a riot, literally a riot. You go there and people are looting. I mean, it was just the several years it took to get this together was an absolute disaster. She goes, you have no idea how bad the day-to-day things were in city by city, and how it was this massive combination of, you know, stuff to eat like right now and versus building materials versus getting things back online, getting the factory working, getting the farms working. She goes, the actual day-to-day mechanism of it was like something you wouldn't even believe because it was such a mess and so many people running around that were, you know, all kinds of, you know, every different stage of messed up. And I can't even imagine that stuff. And that was easier than the China deal for Marshall. I mean, so you can imagine how bad the China deal was. Actually, probably can't imagine.
I think that's kind of how Syria is these days, and some of the South American locations where a lot of people are flooding from these days. I mean, I think that's kind of the situation that's occurring.
Yeah, I don't even know. First of all, this is not a criticism of any of us. It's more like a compliment, I guess. I don't think we have any idea what it's like to be in a situation like that, Steph, and I honestly never want to. I mean, you've been, you know, the closest person we've had on the show, you know, I think might have been Emma. What's her name? Jessica's friend from DePaul that's in that,
yeah.
Whatever class she's in, management of,
yes.
What's the name of the class? She told us, I forgot. I'll think of it. Man, it was the name of the major she was in. Something about
like political. She was some kind of political science, helping the world.
Yeah,
kind of,
and basically, for lack of a better term, political science help. But she's been in a couple of those refugee camps. I don't know if I want to. I probably should visit someday, Steph, just so I know. But I'd almost rather not. You know, I don't know where you put that. Hey, as a weenie or what is that? What does that make me? I don't know. But
you want to take a middle ground? Go down to Tijuana. There's a, you know, there's a. The river that goes through Tijuana down there has a bunch of kind of makeshift islands in the middle of it. And there are a lot of squatters that live on those islands, which I've been to. And the squatters live on the island because it's the one place that they can. It's free. They build these little huts out of basically tarp and metal if they could find it, but it's usually cardboard. And a lot of them travel back and forth or have in the past traveled back and forth to the U.S. or found menial jobs on the, you know, on the Tijuana side. But the problem is every time it rains a lot, the river goes up and they can't get off these islands to go to work, so they lose their job. It puts them back in financial hardship again, and then, you know, they get stuck. But there's nowhere else for them to go. I mean, it's a perpetual cycle. It's pretty pathetic to just see what they live in.
Well, you see what people go through. It's all a question of whether you feel like looking at it. And I remember I mentioned the story before. My mom said the first time she saw Gone with the Wind. Mom was a pretty bright lady. She goes, all she thought about when she was 18 was the parties and the outfits. And then when she was 35, all she thought about were the wounded. You know, it depends on what you see. But I remember I'm a big, not a fan, but, you know, I've studied how Hoover Dam was built a bunch of times. I've been there a few times and got all the movies they have about them. And the first time I watched them, of course, I kind of fast-forwarded to the part where they're digging the tunnels and how they were digging the tunnels. And I was comparing how they were digging the tunnels there essentially 50 years later, 60 years later, than they were building them, the railroads in Sierra Nevadas. And how much easier it was and less dangerous for people, even though it was not easy and it was not dangerous because of the carbon dioxide and everything nobody knew anything about in those days. But or if they did, they weren't telling. And then finally, I watched them like the third time. I saw all these people that saw this is during the Depression, saw or read that there was going to be a dam there and that there were going to be jobs. So. Literally months before, Steph, people drove out in whatever rattle trap piece of crap they had, and they were camping on the shore of the Colorado River, which has got to be one of the most, if there's a Hell's Kitchen on Earth, that's got to be it. I mean, it's got to be like Yucca Valley, for God's sake. I mean, you're down so low, it's 100 and some degrees, the river's running by, but it's all full of silt. I guess you could pull water out of there and boil it, and you'd be okay, or strain
there's
it
no
or something.
Trees.
No trees, there's not a tree anywhere. And you see these people in these tents walking around with babies, you know, nursing the babies and trying to find a way to wash your clothes and dirty. I mean, it's like, and they're there for like months. How do you find anything to eat? I have no idea. There isn't anything you could shoot for, not a deer around, there's not anything. Not that I'm a hunter at all. But, what kind of desperation would say, hey, sweetie, pack up the baby. We're going to live on a, in the case that they might actually build this dam when they say they're going to. I mean, my God.
Yeah, and then you take a job hanging off a rope, scaling, you know, 50-foot cliffs of rock that can fall on you any moment. You know what I mean? It's you have a baby and a wife at home.
Yeah, you could have
sitting on the side of the river.
Well, you could have worked in the concrete plant. It was probably a little safer. But I think the high scalers, the guys you're talking about are high scalers. When you talk about cleaning off an entire face of a cliff for probably, what, a half a mile with hammer and chisel. That's a job.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
they did get hazards pay, but they did lose a lot of them.
90-some only.
Yeah.
But those are mostly the high-scaler guys, you know, just something falling on them. You know, you got to be careful when you help, when a big chunk comes off, there's a guy below you, it might land on his head, you know, just a thought. But, hey, all right, we got to talk about him a little bit. Your buddy Epstein, what is the deal? All right, Steph, are our people, I mean, this, here's the, of course, I was at Southside. I was a guest at a lobster fish fry and, boil.
Sounds delicious.
It was pretty good, except, our cook, who is a tremendous cook, restaurant, good guy. As the guests show up and the cocktails go down, you almost need to, somebody to step in and say, you've taken us far enough, I'll take us the rest of the way, kind of thing. Because, you know, we're supposed to eat at 6:30, we ate like 9, you know, type of thing. But it was pretty darn good. And the group, of course, is very right-wing, and I try not to get in trouble. And so finally, you know, somebody says, well, gee, I said, does anybody think this guy actually committed suicide? And they said, well, obviously the Clintons were involved. I go, wait a minute, how is that obvious? They said, well, you know, Trump tweeted it out or something. I'm going, hey, she's on the show. Good for her, young Claire. She's the best.
She's saying good morning.
Well, good morning back, young lady. I love it. I'm like, do you honestly think that when it gets to somebody who has that much money and is that, you know, I'll use the term perverted, that has to go to somebody's house to find young ladies, too young to be ladies, let's put it that way. And do you think that there's any denomination between Democrat and Republican? And they look at me and they say, well, no, probably not. And I say, well, then why are we accusing the Clintons? Does anybody think for a second that the Clintons still have the power and the wherewithal to get to somebody in jail? Now, you know, if it's really old money in New York, maybe, but I don't think anybody ever accused the Clintons of being that. Is it possible,
no,
Steph?
No, they're not even from New York.
No. And my question, Steph, is as we see these things happen, like month after month, you know, year after year, where, you know, you see stuff like the people in the Army, and there was a mass shooting, and the people in the Army knew somebody was a threat, and yet they didn't pass that information on to the Foyd car people or the gun control people. And you see, you know, the guys not fixing the dike in New Orleans that caused God knows how many people to get killed and so forth. Are federal people just that incompetent now? I mean, all weekend I've been reading about how many hours of overtime and 3-4 days overtime all these guards have. And they pulled the guy off suicide watch 2 weeks ago, even though they thought he tried to kill himself 3 weeks ago. Are we just that bleeped up? Are people just that poorly trained? They don't care. Ran over. What, since when? Who does the math where people on three days in their overtime is cheaper than hiring another guy? I mean, who does that math? I'd like to find out how that guy's calculator works. I mean, are we just that screwed up, or did somebody get to this guy and then kill him in jail? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm tending to be more of a conspiracy theorist, but I'm not sure. We could just be that screwed up and that inept. Do you have an opinion?
No, I was listening to NPR did a blurb or something on prisons several weeks ago about prisons and people killing themselves in prisons who were on suicide watch and how it was a prevalent problem. And they didn't come to any conclusions about exactly why, but part of two things that they said was, one, that that people were inappropriately trained on how to manage this, because a lot of our prisons house mentally ill and a lot of other things, and frankly, the people who are working in those institutions are not trained to deal with a lot of the problems that how they're understaffed and how there is a lack of caring culturally in there for people who do kill themselves. There's no repercussions, and so there's no level of standards that seem to be upheld. Was basically, I hope I'm summarizing that right. If I'm not, somebody please let me know. But that's pretty much what I came away with. And so I guess there's a prevailing problem with this. My big problem with this is that, I mean, Epstein, there's no way he should have been able to get away without going through our legal process, through justice. You know, I mean.
So you're talking about the plea bargain 8 years ago.
No, I'm talking about the fact that he's killed himself, and now he's not going to go through our legal process, right? Now he's out, you know, on his terms, which it shouldn't be, because he didn't give however many other women terms that they could choose from. So I just think it's such a miscarriage of justice that he got to kill himself ahead of trial that I'm just aghast.
What do you know? I was trying to catch up, but I couldn't find anything really detailed. In fact, his lawyer was bitching about that all the stuff that he is currently up for was covered by this plea bargain in Florida 8 years ago, 10 years ago. Do you know anything about that? I mean, did you talk to your attorney hubby about? I mean, how did he weasel away with one count of solicitation on the stuff they had for him that long ago? I mean, how much money did he bring to bear on that one?
Well, if you read, there was a bunch of articles out several weeks ago about this, and I can't say that any of it's specifically true. I didn't look into it particularly, but he apparently, when he moved down to Florida, where he was charged with a lot of the stuff, gave a lot of money to the police, gave a lot of money to the fire department, gave a lot of money to a whole bunch of different religious groups down there, like all sorts of different organizations to almost insulate himself in the beginning. So it seemed, based on what I've read, like he had distributed a whole bunch of money around, and so politically it was not in everyone's best interest to really take him down.
Steph, I just gave enough money to the Chicago Police Memorial to buy somebody a vest, so I have Police Memorial license plates. I don't think that gets me out of a child sex ring charge.
No, he gave I think it was $30,000 at one point, and there was, you know, I mean, it was obviously more significant than probably your donation, but yeah, I don't think it justifies it at all either. I just think that that's what may have contributed to his lighter sentence.
Well, did you hear anything about how he? All I heard is he was found unresponsive, and I probably checked 8 articles. Now, Maddie seems to think that he hung himself. Now, I don't know how. Now, if you're any. Well, he wasn't on suicide watch. He was taken off. But still, if you're on suicide watch, what? There's no sheets, no blankets, no towels, nothing you can cut into or make into strips to make a news. I mean, there's supposed to be nothing in there that you can kill yourself with, right?
You're supposed to even lose your shoelaces. Yeah, I got it. No socks, no nothing. But he wasn't on suicide watch, and the reports say that they found, I guess, ligature markings on his neck. So if I don't understand, if you kill yourself and you find ligature markings on someone's neck, you should find the thing that kills them because they can't remove it after they're dead. So I'm not really sure I understand.
Could mean he got bumped off, Steph.
Now, why did Barr announce it? Why? You know,
I'm going to say that there in some quarters. In Washington and New York and wherever, there is a collective sigh of relief.
That I agree with. that I agree with. Now
we've been tracing, I don't know if you've been listening to the show lately, we've been sort of tracing some of the politics and some of the power plays, going back to Rostenkowski being tossed out for stamps and then replaced by Denny Hastert, essentially, after Newt, that somebody obviously had something on. And we're trying to draw this thing that, you know, who really is the man behind the curtain? I mean, who are these people, Steph? I mean, I don't think I've ever met one, but I mean, who are these guys behind the scenes that seem to, there's a momentum on things that doesn't matter who we elect, whether it's a rogue like Trump or whether it's somebody in the establishment or if it's going to be Joe Biden again. Whoever these people are, just seem like they just wander, keep going their merry way above the law and wherever. And, I don't know how long we can go like that, but we seem to, you know, of course, I guess I don't know how long we've been like that. Might have been like that for 100 years. I just never knew about it. Something seems strange, though, to me. I mean,
it's unacceptable that just because you have money, you can get away with things. But what is it? The Great Gatsby is a good example of that. So
yep.
It's probably not something new.
Well, I think people get away here with just about everything. Look at the guy who whacked the guy and killed him on the street. And the police covered that. Was it Daley's nephew or whatever?
yeah.
Remember that? I mean, it's a... All right, Steph, well, we've got to go to break here in a sec, but we're going to talk more about the market. What, when you have the last week, I mean, you're back to work after having a little one, mm-hmm. so you probably don't have time to watch the CNBCs all day like I do in Fox Business. But what do you make of the, well, we'll talk about it after break. What do you make of the market here in the sense that we've got, we're starting to send rates down to a spot where a lot of people, and me being one of them, believe that you really can't count on asset pricing when your interest rates are this low, because people are going to chase any kind of return and they're going to drive asset pricing up higher than maybe it ought to be it property, be it stocks, be it whatever, and certainly bonds. When you're buying bonds for more than you're going to get back on a thing forever. Anyway, S&P futures down 22.75, NASDAQ futures down 62, so we're in a hole here. The Dow down about 200. We'll be right back with what's going on all around the world, and Stephanie Cohen and Matt Weber. Be right back.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708 708- 208-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right
now. Welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Allen, Mr. Bettler, over on the board. We have Stephanie Cunning with us, we do every Monday. And we have young Claire as well, intermittently, which is fine. S&P futures down 2250. NASDAQ futures down 6125. So, Maddie, I got to hold her a couple times, and I need some practice. She's looking at me like, this is not the way you're supposed to do it. I mean, she didn't die or anything, and she wasn't all that upset, but she just obviously was looking at me like, rookie, which is fine, I guess, because I am.
Can't blame her.
No, I can't blame her at all. Dow futures down 225. Big movers in the Dow. We got Apple down 179, under 200, 199.20. Got Boeing down 355, and we've got J.P. Morgan down 174, which is a pretty reasonable move there. And we have Visa down 127. So not any massive ones, but the only thing that's up pre-market is Johnson & Johnson. They're only up 12 cents. Everybody else is down. Caterpillar down another dollar 38 at 118. That's the lowest they've been in a while. For Europe, we've got DAX down 29.2%, so not heavy in Europe. FTSE down 37.5, CAC round down 27.5. So over in Asia, we've got the Nikkei actually up 91 points, 0.4. I wonder, these guys might have been up earlier, but Shanghai up 41.45, Hang Seng down 114, that's 0.5. I wonder, I'm going to check and see if the Shanghai is open. It can't possibly be up. We got oil down 76 cents, Brent down 47 cents, oil 53.74, natural gas up a penny at 213. You want to eyeball it, maybe a buy for the winter, 213 natural gas. We were over 3 last winter, as you recall. Of course, I'm not predicting the weather, I'm not predicting natural gas, but all I'm going to say is 213 is pretty low. RBOB 165, man, I got gas 264. Big drink in the Suburban yesterday morning. That's not bad. I don't think I can do that in the city, do you?
No.
Just saying. Gold up $8, 15.16. Silver up 2 cents, 16.95. What do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports. Good Cub game yesterday.
Yeah, big win. We'll get to that in a minute. 36 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. The sports weather traffic update is brought to you by Luckbox Magazine. The guide to money and probability is available on newsstands for $7.99 per issue. And Stocks and Jocks listeners receive a free digital subscription by visiting luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. We're off to a great start on the area expressways, roadways, and tollways. If you're heading in on the Edens or Kennedy, you're looking pretty good right now. No issues coming in on either of those expressways. Outbound Kennedy, out near O'Hare, you'll see some traffic lights as folks are heading out to the airport, but that's the only slowdown there on the Kennedy. Eisenhower and Stevenson traffic starting to build, but looking good otherwise. Southside expressways have been quiet all morning. Same with the suburban tollways. So we're off to a good start. Weather today, lots of clouds early. Could have some showers later on, especially in the later evening portion of the day with some severe thunderstorms in the forecast. Right now it's overcast and 74, going up to a high of 80 degrees this afternoon. For our Phoenix listeners, mostly clear today with a high of 106. Right now it's partly cloudy and 88. In sports, Cubs fell behind 3-0, and it looked like another horrible road series was about to accumulate, losing 3 out of 4, and instead, they rallied back, scoring 6 straight runs, highlighted by a Chris Bryant 3-run homer to double up the Reds in Cincinnati 6-3. So the Cubs salvage a split. They're off today, and then they'll head to Philadelphia to take on the Phillies on Tuesday. White Sox were shut out by the A's 2-0, in spite of a nice performance by Lucas Giolito. In that one. Lastly, the Diamondbacks were blown out by the Dodgers 9-3. So as we take a look at our Monday morning peek at the baseball standings, we're getting into the home stretch here halfway through August, Chief. The White Sox are obviously out of it, 52-64, third place in the AL Central, but 18.
All they need is a little streak.
Yeah, they're 18 games back behind the first place Indians and Twins, who are now tied atop the AL Central as the Indians beat the Twins yesterday. So that'll be a good race at the top of that.
What has been the resurgence in the Tribe?
I mean, they've been good for 5 years. They just got off to a slow start this year. I don't know what turned it around, but yeah, they're playing good ball. They've won 8 out of 10. and they caught the Twins from behind, and now we'll see what happens. The National League Central, Cubs are in first place, 2 games up on the Cardinals, who won yesterday, and have won 3 in a row. They're 2.5 up on the Brewers, who lost yesterday, so the Cubs are at 64 and 54. Lastly, the Diamondbacks are 59 and 59. They're 19 games behind the Dodgers in second place in the NL West, but they're firmly in the wild card race, are the Diamondbacks. They're 3 out behind the Nationals and Cardinals. Chief.
What did you make the Giants in there or not? I watched some of the game last night.
The Giants are a half game behind the Diamondbacks. They're 3.5 out of a wild card spot, but they would have to jump over, you know, 4 teams to get to one of those last 2 spots, 6 teams altogether.
I know I'm jumping you with this, but since you know all this stuff, what is the story with Yaz's grandkid? The guy looks like a world beater. How did it take him like 7 years to make it to the major leagues?
Yeah, I saw that he's in the big leagues. I don't know if he's any good or not.
He's real good. Whacked one way the hell out and made a great catch. He's fast as hell. I mean, they said he got drafted 3 times. So he must have got drafted coming out of high school and then went to college. But how do you get to be so a lot of guys are drafted twice. How do you get the third one in there?
That's a good question. How, they didn't explain it?
No. A-Rod just lobs his stuff out at you and didn't explain anything.
I'll have to find that out because...
No, the kid, his first year, he's like a rookie. His first year is the same as like his granddad's, except his granddad was like 20.
Yeah, so he's 28 years old, which leads me to believe that he's, you know, not going to be that great, but he's having a pretty solid season. Right now, he's batting.
If you looked at him, you'd say, what was this guy doing in the minors?
Yeah, he's got
this huge swing. I mean, he smacks the shit out of the ball.
He's got 12 home runs, batting .266. It looks like he's having a solid rookie year. He was drafted by the Red Sox in the 36th round of the MLB June Amateur Draft, and then he was taken by the Mariners in the 30th round of the 2012 Amateur Draft. And then he decided to go back to his senior year. College.
Can you do that?
I guess. And so then he got drafted again by the Orioles in the 14th round.
So if you draft somebody coming out as a junior, goes back for a senior, you lose him? I didn't know that.
I mean, I didn't know that either, but...
That's a Kevin. We'll have to talk to Kevin about that.
Yeah, that appears to be the case.
Wow. All right, Steph. All kinds of questions here. Let's talk about individual stocks. Obviously, the ones we see down this morning are ones that you would... sort of expect to be in the crosshairs a little bit, Apple and Boeing, but the Wall Street analysts, who the hell these analysts were, who are these analyzers, if I was Mayor Daley? Michael Bloom, not to be confused with Michael Bloomberg on CNBC, says they did a big, a deep dive. Steph, deep dive. I don't know what that means. Hopefully it's not, I don't know what that means, but this is not a porn show, so I don't know what they're talking about. CNBC did a deep dive through the most recent Wall Street research to see which stocks concern analysts the most in the ongoing U.S.-China trade dispute. And the stocks they came up with, Dollar Tree, I'm not so sure I would have guessed that one. Then again, I'm not Mr. Individual Stock, as everybody knows. Abercrombie & Fitch, again, I'm not so sure to put that up. Rio Tinto, O'Reilly Automotive, there's one I would not have guessed at all. Michael's Companies, Advanced Micro Devices, and NVIDIA. Can you make head or tail?
Yeah, I thought it was an interesting mix of things that they brought up. Michael's makes sense to me. Dollar Tree makes sense. A lot of the things in those stores are, say, 90% probably are made in China. So, and this last set of tariffs that Trump says he's going to enact are on... consumer goods, so it will directly affect that, so that sort of makes some sense. NVIDIA must have their plants over there with what they make.
Why does Apple keep being dodged here? I would think those are the guys that were, they're the church where the mortar shells are flying over from the two fighting armies, but.
Yeah, for sure. And Boeing, although they have some parts over there, does not do a majority of their build in China, so I'm, you know, always interested. And
well, how many planes are they?
Who are the other two?
How much of their advanced micro devices? Rio Tinto.
Yeah, I don't know too much about either of those two companies. AMD's
AMD is a chip manufacturer, but how do you put them in there if you don't put Intel?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I was reading about Abercrombie and Fitch, and they said that a lot of their production is over there. In fact, majority of it. So they were looking at how much of the end product was produced in China. And then they were looking at shipping times, was my understanding, of making decisions about when you could ship, because from China, in order to order things, you obviously have to order them several weeks in advance. And they were saying it was 2 weeks to ship to L.A., basically the West Coast, and 3 weeks to ship to the East Coast. And so that a lot of these tariffs that, in theory, were going to go into effect a month from when they were announced should already be affecting people in the stores, because they have to plan that far out.
Steph, how can that be? Your president says that the Chinese are paying for it.
Well, as those of us who actually understand, I guess, economics know that tariffs, the Chinese can't possibly pay for it. It doesn't work that way. And the consumer pays the difference.
Did you ever...
if the company doesn't absorb it.
Did you ever shop at Abercrombie & Fitch?
I did when I was younger, but it's a younger person's store.
Steph,
and you
are younger.
Every European I know that's come over here wants to buy stuff there.
When they first opened on South Street Seaport, in that area, when I just gotten on the board, it was the 90s, I was over in New York, they just opened a store there. I went in there and I bought like a polo shirt, for lack of a better term, and it said, what's their little moniker, ANC or something on it?
Yeah.
Steph, it was without a doubt the best shirt I ever bought. I mean, in those days, you wore stuff on the trading floor, you wore like a polo shirt and then a stupid tie. I think I wore that shirt one day a week for 5 years, and you washed it every week, and you'd swear it was brand new. And yet, I think everybody's, you know who else used to make stuff that good was Banana Republic before they got taken over by Gap.
Yeah, they did. They made amazing things. And I, like you, had a whole bunch of Abercrombie and Fitch stuff from back in the day. It was wonderful.
Better than Polo.
Polo was kind of the other one that made really quality.
What's
Abercrombie & Fitch is too small for me to fit in.
Oh, God. Well, I don't even want to go there with that, but I think I'd be off the end of the rack, as they say. So we only got a few minutes here. I know we got Carl coming on. What do you make of this in terms of the market and this whole mess? I'm getting this odd feeling, Steph, that people are starting to think that things are kind of unglued and nobody's really in charge on a worldwide scale. Am I just being grumpy and old because I got too many people on the show that are conspiracy theorists, or what?
No, it seems to be that the market is starting to pick that up. So for the last couple of years, the market seems to have felt that Trump and his advisors had the economics under control. And even though they were going through these discussions with China on trade and setting up a trade war, that we would all come out for the better, or at least even. And now it seems to be that people are getting concerned about the outcome.
Yeah, I would think.
And I don't know exactly what that means, but for investors, but it does seem that the market is.
I don't think that driving the interest rates down is going to drive the market to the moon. I think that game is over, but we'll see. I don't think it's going to go down much either. But Steph, thank you very much. Hopefully, we'll caucus this week. Maybe you got to bring a little one. I miss her. I haven't seen her in a couple weeks.
Definitely.
She was trying to get on the show.
Right.
All right, take care of yourself. SP Futures down 20, NASDAQ Futures down 55. Short break. Come back with Mr. Carl Denninger.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a 1 month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of HomeSource Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks,
stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
If you got the money, honey, I've got the time. We'll go a honky tonk tonight. We're gonna have a time.
Hello and welcome back to Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tom, Mr. Matt Weber on the board. We have Mr. Carl Denninger here of Market Ticker. We also have the S&P futures down 1925. NASDAQ futures down 54. We're actually up a little last night. And I'm guessing somewhere along the line when the Hong Kong closed the airport, we must have made the dive sort of with that. We had the Dow down 220, now they're only down 171. So we've actually come back some here, which is sort of scary. Carl, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you doing?
We're doing fine. You're going to explain to me whether our prison people are that inept or overtime, how many days in a row. Is everybody at the federal level, is every department like this bad? I mean, every time we talk, like once in a while we talk about something bizarre happening, somebody not fixing this or somebody not fixing that or noticing this or this happening or this kind of a leak. And Are these people this? Are they that leaderless? Are they that corrupt? Are they that whatever? I mean, or am I just missing the point here?
Well, no, they're obviously that corrupt. Let's just look at this dispassionately, okay? Take the name off of what happened, because you know, as soon as you put the name on it, everybody's, you know, the conspiracy crazies come out, everybody else comes out, right? So take the name off of it. On the facts, we arrested the most notorious serial pedophile ever in the history of the United States. Right? Never been anybody that the United States federal government or any state government anywhere in this country, in history of this country, that has been accused of trafficking and abusing more young girls.
All right, Carl, back up a little bit. I'm gonna say in my own little financial world here, I didn't know anything about this guy. I mean, how widely known? Who did you have to be to know that? I guess is my question.
All you had to do was read the paper.
Well, I mean, it was a Florida case.
This was 10 years ago. Remember, we were slightly consumed with every bank in the world going bankrupt. So Paulson told us.
But this was also the guys in Florida, right? So you're closer to this than you're closer to this. Would that ever have been in the Chicago Tribune? I guess is my question.
Oh, it absolutely should. Look, it should have been in every paper. Okay. It should have been front page news everywhere, and it should have been run to the ground at the time. It was intentionally buried at the time it happened by our government.
Okay.
Okay? And Acosta has said, although nobody has called him in front of Congress or anywhere else to under oath tell us who said it, that he was told to back off on throwing this guy in the federal pen for the rest of his natural life the first time around because he was an asset.
All right, Acosta, now, Acosta is who? Now, we got to define it because it was 10
years ago. Acosta is the guy that was forced out of the Trump administration that was the federal prosecutor who handled Epstein's first case.
Now, he was a federal prosecutor in Florida or the one up in...
He was a federal prosecutor, but he was in charge of the district down here.
Okay.
Okay? So he was told, they had irrefutable evidence that this guy had trafficked hundreds of underage girls.
From where? Any particular spot or everywhere?
All over the place. And by the way, one of the most outrageous aspects of this is that a huge percentage of these girls that were being trafficked were from poor homes in the area of Mar-a-Lago, down South Florida. Okay? Now, South Florida, like most large cities and most large metropolitan areas, has really good places and really rich people and then people that are not so good. Okay? They're just economically not as well off.
So we're talking American citizens, or is he bringing them in that way? Or both?
Well, no, there was some foreign stuff here too, but for the most part, we're talking American citizens. Okay? American girls that worked at Mar-a-Lago and in other places. Because, you know, hey, it's a nice, rich country club, and, you know, and I can get a job there and, you know, bus tables or whatever, okay? So, this was, Trump allegedly threw him out of the club because he caught him coming on to a girl that was like 14 or 15 that was working at the club.
Whenever you talk, I'm not interrupting for cause. I just want to back up. What are the laws there in terms of what can somebody 15 do? Can you set up chairs? Can you bus tables? I mean, what are the Florida laws here? I don't think you can do anything at 15.
I don't know what it was at the time, okay, because at the time it wasn't all important to me. My daughter wasn't old enough for it to matter yet. You can do some work at 15. You can't do anything considered dangerous until you're 18.
Okay. Is that the only thing I can do at 15?
That's a large list, okay? So, like, working in the kitchen, you cannot do because, you know, you might burn yourself on the, you know, on the pot of grease or whatever.
I'm thinking all I could do at 15 was caddy in Illinois.
Well, I was able to caddy when I was, like, 13.
Okay.
So
you guys in Florida, you guys are aggressive.
The point being, you know, you could probably be, like, a locker room attendant or, you know, something like that, right? So, I mean, there's things you could do to earn a little bit of extra money. And he was preying on these underprivileged girls and got caught.
So he didn't want one or two. He needed like 100 of them.
Yeah, this wasn't one or two. This isn't some guy who was just a creep and, like, you know, showed up at the park and flashed some chick, right? I mean, that's not what this was. This was an organized ring. He had people working for him. That the allegations are their job was basically to find these cute young things and get them to come over and give them quote unquote massages that turned into you know what.
But how do you, I mean, so even if you're that way, why do you need like 100? Isn't a few of them enough?
Well, hey, listen, you know, I guess if you get away with it a couple of times, you figure, you know, the variety's a spice life. I don't know.
Oh, God.
So anyway, then this turns into him trafficking these girls to other rich and powerful men. Not just him, but allegedly foreign royalty, ex-president of the United States, okay, Bill Clinton is implicated in this, a governor, some representatives. I mean, we're talking about some pretty high-level people, all of them with a lot of money, all of them with a lot of political influence.
Bill was so successful with the older ladies. Why do you want to, why do you need this?
What do you mean? How about Monica Lewinsky, for crying out loud? You know, under the desk, right, as an intern?
But she was 20-something.
Well, she was legal, but, you know, but nonetheless, I mean, way younger than him, okay?
Yeah, I don't get any of this, but, I mean, I'm just not, obviously not built.
Well, I don't understand it. I don't understand, you know, the weird perversion stuff either. It doesn't make any sense to me, but you know, it's out there, right? It is what it is. So anyway, this thing gets buried. He pleads guilty. He has to register as a sex offender, but he could have done decades in federal prison for this, right? Because it was clearly an interstate component to it. He was flying these girls in his plane, and it, you know, leaving the state of Florida, going other places. Well, that instantly brings the feds into the game, and so this Acosta was allegedly told to back off and that he was an asset. Now, that implies he was working for somebody's intelligence service.
So the idea was, if he had, I shouldn't even go down this road, let's say there was ex-sheik from someplace or ex-Russian businessman. The idea was he was giving somebody information on the sheik or Russian businessman that somehow trumped the fact the guy was doing some 14-year-old girl. I mean, how that would ever trump that, Trump is in bridge. How that would ever supersede one to the other there, I can't imagine that, Carl, with my upbringing.
Well, I can, and I don't like the implication of it one bit. It's one of the reasons that I'm so outraged about this entire thing. I've been writing articles on it, and in fact, wrote some stuff on it at the time it happened. The implication is that these men that were doing this, the fact that they had done it was being used as a means of control by intelligence agencies.
Does this sound very familiar to the Denny's Hastert situation?
Yes, it does, and it's exactly the same thing, and it's one of the reasons that I have been absolutely livid since this thing went off originally, that they let him go the first time.
Carl, why do old grumpy people like you and I start to put two and two together on this stuff? I think other people are just too busy with their regular jobs. They don't have the... I mean, I do this for a living, watch TV for people, and I worry for them. That's my job. You do it because you obviously give a rat's behind about the country you're leaving to your kids. I think this blows by most people. How can most people get a handle on this? As they say in the trading floor, it's like take a drink out of a fire hydrant. I mean, I had no idea this whole thing was going on 10 years ago. Obviously, it was in Chicago. I would have known more. But it's not something, I mean... Carl, I dug up Maddie Weber, and Maddie was giving me grief about my definition, which wasn't even mine, regarding mass shootings in the definition. So I found a site where I found 10 people and more killed or wounded at one time. Carl, there's like 25 of them in the last year. I remember about a third of them. I mean, even I pride myself on having a pretty good memory. How did people remember this stuff enough to make it worthwhile? Well, you get it out of the people's minds for a day or two, it's gone. There's so much other crap happening.
Well, that's the point of it, okay? But the horror of this is not just the damage to the girls, okay, and their families, all right, which is bad enough. It's the corruption of the political process and the fact that we don't know who was pulling those strings, but somebody very clearly was. Now, this all means that this guy was... in order of magnitude more important from a federal custody perspective, Emmanuel Noriega, who, if you remember, we went down into Panama and we actually snatched him.
Yeah, right.
We kidnapped him and dragged him up here to the United States to stand trial for drug trafficking. All right. So this guy is in that category. He is the most notorious serial pedophile and human trafficker that the United States has ever had in custody. Ever in the history of the country. We put him in jail to stand trial, and by the way, the protest that came out of his attorneys were that he hadn't done anything illegal since he was busted the last time he pled guilty. That's a lie. During the raid on his house in Manhattan, they found child pornography in his safe. The mere possession of that material is a felony. The transport of it across state lines is a federal offense. Doesn't matter when it was produced, doesn't matter when you got your hands on it, having it is a crime. All right, so the idea that he had never committed any crimes since he was originally, it's just nonsense, okay? They facially caught him with evidence of felonies in his possession at the time of the bust when they went through and, you know, they cracked his safe open and everything else. It's what they do. They toss your place when they arrest you, right? All this stuff. So now the guy's sitting in jail, and he allegedly tries to kill himself.
All right, before we get into that, I have a question for you. I don't expect you to know the name. This weekend's an interesting weekend in regards to this, because we have two trains coming to the same fork in the road. One is the Blagojevich situation. You'll know where I'm going with this in a second. One is the Blagojevich situation where they take this guy who's trying very clumsily to get political advantage from a Senate seat, which, of course, everybody gets political advantage on everything. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying this is not unheard of. And the guy clumsily never even gets check one, right? he gets tried by the state's attorney, U.S. attorney here. He gets tried, and it's a hung jury, so they totally strike out. Somehow or another, they put the juror's name up in lights. They got people camping out on the poor lady's lawn. I think it was a lady. And then they decide they're going to have another trial here in Chicago, and Blago's got no more money to pay for his defense. So they throw him a public defender, and there isn't a... Why that trial was here, somebody somewhere told this guy, if I forget his name, was it Fitzgerald, told this guy, no matter how much you spend, no matter what you have to do, no matter how, in my term, my mind, illegal, that trial should never have been in Illinois, a second trial, no matter how legal it is, we've got to get this guy. And now you're talking about Acosta, essentially in the same job. Somebody calls him and says, you got to back off of this guy. Now, my question is, who the hell can make those two phone calls? I don't think it's the president. I don't think it's an attorney. Who's the guy? Is there somebody somewhere in Washington, an office that we don't know about, or what?
Well, I don't know, and that's one of the reasons that as soon as that came out of Acosta's mouth, the next thing that should have happened is he should have been subpoenaed and forced to divulge that information publicly. I want to know who that was, and I want to know who they worked for. And then I want to run every one of them, whoever he names, they're next.
Would you think he'd ever name
And you know what? Because I'll tell you what, this goes in one of a couple of places. And one of them's bad and the other one's worse. Okay? One of the places this probably ends up is in somewhere like the CIA, okay, or the NSA.
Right.
All right, which is very bad, especially if it's the CIA, because they're prohibited by law from operating in the United States.
Well,
and if they actually did so in this case, entrapping and enticing Americans inside the country, inside the United States, we no longer have a constitutional republic. That is an absolutely prohibited act by our government.
All right, I'm going to ask for further definition of this. If they're tracking some, I don't know, Russian oligarch who's been, I'll say, messing with elections and in Britain and some other place, and they know this guy's, you know, he's essentially, you know, Don Corleone that's now spreading his wings across countrywide stuff. That guy makes a trip to Chicago or to New York. I know the CIA is not supposed to do stuff here, but how can they just say it's not my job once he gets here if they've been following the guy for 10 years?
Well, that's where things get into a gray area, all right? But we're not talking about that. We're talking about circumstances here where allegedly Epstein was proffering these people to governors in the United States, to President Clinton.
But the guests from overseas.
They told him to back off. All right. So essentially, what we've got here is America's international spooks. All right. Which, I mean, you know, hey, listen, every country has spooks. It is what it is. That were operating and gave license to serious criminal felonies in the United States by U.S. actors in the context of entirely within the borders of this country. That is a extraordinarily serious violation of the law, and if it happened, we no longer have a constitutional republic in this country. The worst news, and where a lot of the people think this goes, is it wasn't our intelligence agencies, it was a foreign one.
That's interesting. Yeah.
All right, and maybe in concert with the CIA, but at least part of the influence machine behind this was foreign intelligence. And when the name that's been thrown around is Mossad, now I don't know, but, you know, there's plenty of anti-Semites that want to go after, you know, anything Israeli, right? So who knows? But if there's a foreign intelligence aspect to this, it's even worse.
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, I don't, by the way, I'm not disagreeing with you at all. I'm just saying, we have this bizarre thing going on now, when I say bizarre, because you and I grew up after the World War II group, a little after the Korea group. When you went to war, it was kind of a real war. Now we have this semi-state of wardom, if that's even a term, all over the damn place. Which, you know, I don't know what that even means, because clearly, you know, stealing money from the federal government on munitions contracts is still a national sport. Well, if you're at war, that's treason, right? You would think.
Right.
But I mean, what if, you know, I'm just lobbing one out at you. The Carlin Chief two-headed monster is sitting in the Oval Office. Boy, that would, I don't know if that would make the country worse or better. I'm thinking maybe worse. But anyway, we're sitting there, and all of a sudden we get this report drops in the middle of the desk, and maybe they'll give us two copies, or we got to look over each other's shoulder. And it says the Muslim head of Saudi Arabia is was just caught basically with his... Now, would he be with his pants down or his robe up? I don't know. One or the other. In Mar-a-Lago, messing around with two 14-year-olds. And we know that there's nothing but political strife in Saudi Arabia. And they're, quote, our ally, because I guess we have nobody else over there. Even though I don't think anybody likes the group there much. It's got to be somebody's call. Are the pictures on the New York Times tomorrow or aren't they? Now, we think we're at war in the Middle East against Iran. We think we're at war against the Taliban. We got all this crap going on, Carl. I don't know if it's as simple as saying the CIA doesn't make that call to somebody or the president doesn't say, get that guy back on the plane and get him the hell out of here and don't ever let him come back. I don't know what my call would be there. Do you?
Well, no, I don't either. But, the thing is that this, from all indications, was a systematic series of events. It wasn't, a Saudi prince that shows up and sees a couple of cute 14-year-olds and, finds a hotel room and does them, right? This was trafficking.
Well, that's
we had girls that were being flown all over the country and, in fact, internationally in order to satisfy these perverts' desires. And somebody... And by the way... Here's another guy that's this is even more notorious than Madoff. Okay, you can't find anybody that claims to have admitted to trading with this dude. Where'd he come up with $500 million?
Well, that's my next point. I mean, if I'm one of these guys, which I don't know what I'd do. I'd probably find a way to off myself. If I was one of these guys, what would possess me other than trying to find four or five? I don't even want to think about it. Underage girls to mess with, even though, whatever, I can't even go there. But what possessed me to want to include you or Maddie or anybody else into this mix and essentially spread it around? Why wouldn't I want to keep that as private as I possibly could? Was he charging these people?
Well, you got to wonder. I mean, I look at the money aspect of this, and supposedly when he was first busted, the news was he's a billionaire. Well, no, not really. But, $500 million is still a lot of money, right?
Yeah.
I mean, by anybody's standards. All right, so amassing a couple of million bucks is not all that hard to do. But if you walked around Chicago, even today, I haven't lived there since 2000, and you run into some people in the tech sector, and you mention my name, they go, oh, yeah, that guy used to run, he used to run MCSNet in Chicago. Their offices were in 2 Prudential Plaza. But everybody knows how I made the money.
Okay?
I mean, there's no shock here, right? Now, I don't have anywhere near $500 million. How do you get $500 million and nobody can say, oh, yeah, I used to trade spoons against that guy?
Or he's a fur trader. He was a ferry trader. He was something.
I mean, he might have been trading fur, but I don't think it was the kind that used to. That,
yeah.
Maybe he's a beaver trader.
Oh God!
I just look at this and I go, okay, there's too many implausibilities here. At some point, you have to put the middle finger up and say this is BS.
I hate to even go there, but what's the charge for a Saudi prince I keep saying Saudi prince. It could be anybody. To be put up at a country club and have a string of 10, 14-year-olds go by. Is it $1 million bucks? Half $1 million bucks?
I don't know, but so anyway, back to what I was saying. So we got the most notorious serial pedophile ever in history of the United States in custody, okay, in New York. He tries to kill himself, which gets him listed on suicide watch, all right, and then mysteriously, somehow, he gets taken off suicide watch, ordered that. Number two, he allegedly manages to kill himself, so So he's not being supervised. All right. And then, number three, allegedly, all the video cameras in the area were just magically not working that night.
I think we're talking about a murder, Carl.
Oh, you think?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, gee, there's how many coincidences do you get to go down before you say, and that doesn't happen. The most secure place that you have, you know, in terms of where you can hold people like this. I mean, this is, we put Guzman in this place for crying out loud.
Well, so when you come up, when you come up suicide,
24/7 camera surveillance all over the place, and somehow there's no video of him murdering, committing suicide.
All right, so when you come off suicide watch, the guy shows up with the, gives you the shoelaces back and the towels back and the sheets back, or how does that work?
Well, no. Here's the other thing, though. That entire unit where he was being held has like 10-foot high ceilings. There are no protrusions anywhere on it. You can't get, there's nowhere to fashion something that you can hang yourself with. All right, because there's no way to get to it. And then on top of that, the sheets that are in there and the clothing are made of material that won't support your weight.
All right, I have a question for you. I asked Matty Weber to weigh in. I have my own opinion. He agrees with me. Is it possible for a human being, or any animal for that matter, to kill themselves without some help from an apparatus or a height or something?
It's extraordinarily difficult to do.
I mean, you can't hold your breath until you're dead.
The problem, well, I mean, you could bash your windpipe in or something, you know, collapse, do some catastrophic physical damage to your body. All right.
Which is hard to
do.
Short
of that, it's almost impossible, because if you were to, for example, try to choke yourself, as soon as you pass out, you start breathing again.
Yeah, I mean, and if you start punching yourself, you're going to stop punching yourself after a while, I would think.
Right, I mean, short of doing catastrophic physical damage to your, to some bodily organ, you know, you bash your brain out against the wall or something like this, it's almost impossible to do. But those rooms are about, those cells are about as close to a rubber room as you can get.
Carl, we have some questions. We have a bunch of people tweeting in. Where do you think the Attorney General is in all this?
Well, you know, I honestly don't know. I have zero faith at this point in any of any sort that we actually have a functional federal executive level, we call it a law enforcement arm anymore. It is now apparently proved that the FBI intentionally falsified the information to get the FISA warrant to spy on the Trump campaign prior to the election, not during the renewals, before the original application. That came out from Judicial Watch over the weekend. That appears to have now been established, that multiple people within the FBI knew that the original source information submitted to that judge was perjured, that it was unreliable. They had a legal and ethical duty to disclose it and did not. Not only has that not resulted in any indictments, and it has taken how long for it to come out into the public, but in addition to that, the judge who heard that has not said word one, nor on his own initiative, which he can do, held people in criminal contempt.
How much, I guess, without getting into the left-right mess of this thing, I'm going to be neutral on this, Carl, as best I can be. I don't know how good the FBI has been for 200 years or how long they've been around. I would say that it's unusual pressure being put on somebody like that. Whenever there's an election, federal or president or otherwise, they really want to be left out of it. A, because I think the day when they don't do anything is probably a good day. That's what I've come across the law enforcement people that I've met, honestly. You know, not the policemen will show up at your house if somebody's banging in. I mean, they do, those guys. I mean, but I'm talking about just in general. Nobody really wants a speeder to go by or to see the guy. I mean, I don't see anybody stopping traffic. All the way up, you want to see. But, I mean, the untoward amount of pressure being put on an agency like that when the two people running, you know, could be the two biggest crooks in the country.
Right.
And all of a sudden, they're in the line. I don't know. It seems like every time, I mean, certainly since you and I have been doing the show together, it's a long time. Every time you put pressure on any of these groups, be it the veterans group, be it this, be it the guys who check out dikes in New Orleans, whatever it is you put pressure on them, it seems like they're inept. No matter who it is. I mean, it doesn't, I mean, you've got guys 3-4 days in a row overtime and the guards at this place. Yeah, it's a super secure place. Don't you think you could hire a couple of more guys, for God's sake? You have 58,000.
Well, who says this is ineptness and not corruption?
I mean, well, I don't know.
Where do you draw the line and say this, you cannot argue that this is pure incompetence. This has to be intentional.
I understand that. I mean, and actually, by the way, I absolutely agree with you, but I'm trying to work the case for you a little bit and say, okay, can it be just ineptness? Or if somebody wanted to do it, let's put it this way. If you and I wanted to get this done, we were one of these people, which we're not, how hard would it be for us to do? Can we sneak somebody in without the guards knowing about it because they're so bad? I'm not doing this right, Carl. You help me out. Or Maddie. What I'm saying is it so inept that one person could pull it off with, like, paying off one guy? Or are they actually very, very good at what they do, and the entire place now had to be corrupted to make it happen? The guy who turned the cameras off, the guy who looked the other way, the guy who took them off suicide. I mean, I guess what I'm saying, the more inept you are, the less widespread the conspiracy has to be, is what I'm trying to get with this.
Well, yeah, up to a point. However, the problem is, you know how probabilities work, right? There's a 20% probability of something, and then a 20% probability on that, on top of that, it's 20% of 20%.
Yeah.
All right? You don't have to stack very many of those before it's more likely that I win the lotto.
Well, what I'm saying is, if we're trying to get, I'll use the term, a murderer into a place, and the gate where the guards come in and out, there's one guy there, and he's watching porn on his cell phone, it's a hell of a lot easier than if there's five guys there paying attention.
Well, that's true, but if there's one guy watching porn on his cell phone, it also costs $1,000 in an envelope to him instead of, now how are you going to pay off five dudes? And by the way, if one of them squeals, everyone goes to prison.
Well, as I'm saying, I'm trying to weasel out of you. How's that for a term? Weasel out of you is what combination of getting to him, paying somebody to get to him, versus total ineptness are we looking at here on a scale of 1 to 10?
Well, I just again, we're talking about the highest security facility in the federal system in that area. I'm not buying it. I'm just not buying it. Do they overwork people? Do people work overtime? Yeah, I'll buy that. But have we really deteriorated things so far that the most notorious person in this class of criminal the United States has ever held in custody? There's how many violations of protocol in a row that had to happen for him to be able to do this?
Well, I guess what brings us to the questions we've got from our tweet guys is Barr so inept you can run something like this by him without him even knowing about it, or does he have to?
Well, wait a minute. Barr was not directly involved in this when Epstein first got busted the second time around. He excused himself from the case on purpose, and the reason is that there was a family connection to Epstein being hired at some school. And by the way,
Epstein was hired at a school.
A whole bunch of questions there too, because he clearly wasn't qualified to teach anything.
Epstein got hired by a school to do what?
Teach math.
What grade of school are we talking about?
Well, since it was a private school, I would assume we're talking secondary anyway.
Secondary girls' school?
Well, that'd be a good question, wouldn't it?
Good Lord. That Manny, could you even conceive of something like that? Wait a minute. Can we, instead of going and getting a nice big dog to guard our chickens, why don't we go get a wolf?
I'm just saying, there's enough weird stuff in this case that goes back literally before anybody was talking about him diddling kids. Okay, I mean, the level of insanity here is so high.
The guy has got nothing but dough.
You can't believe it.
He's doing stuff at Mar-a-Lago to the point where even Trump boots him out. How bad you got to be for that? And then the guy gets hired by a high school to teach girls?
Well, I think this was before that.
Oh, right.
I'd have to look at the timeline, but I know, and I don't know it was a girls' school. I just know that he was hired to teach math despite not having anything close to the qualifications that you would think you would have to have in order to do that job.
For $40,000 a year?
What is that all about? But anyway, there's a relationship to Barr in terms of who ran that school. It's crazily indirect, but it's the reason that Barr said, okay, it's why he wasn't personally involved. Technically, that's the right thing to do, right?
Now, when somebody has a study that says, whenever some bozo on TV or bozette says, quite frankly, you can pretty much count on the next thing they say being a lie. Now, in a federal level, whenever anybody recuses himself, does that mean they get more involved?
Oh, probably.
I mean, is it even possible for those guys to recuse themselves?
Well, sure it is, but if you think they didn't track it and pay attention, and all that means is there's no official action. I mean, do you really think that they stayed off the phone?
God. All right, Carl, this is way more than anybody I never thought I'd learn. Not so sure it makes me feel better about the whole thing, but you're a worldly wise dude. What the hell's going on in Hong Kong? Tariffs, are we reaching? I got the feeling last week. It's one of the reasons why I had to have you on today. I got the feeling last week that even though the rates are going down, and Trump, by the way, I saw Bannon on TV Friday night. I listened to the whole thing. Carl, I felt like we're somehow or another, I'm paying this guy's salary. Where did he come from? I mean,
there's plenty of questions there, aren't there?
But I mean,
not good ones either.
I get the feeling that right now, either further rate cuts or whatever, worldwide the markets are starting to not buying it. I just have that.
Well, of course they're not buying it, and they shouldn't be. But look, let me just put one little piece of background on this, and maybe this will start to, you know, float into the consciousness of the people that are listening to the show today. All right. Over the weekend, I found some source material that was sent to me, and I've run it down, and it's accurate. The National Science Foundation, that's a government agency, right?
Yep.
They're the people that originally brought us DARPA and the Internet. All right, National Science Foundation put a study together that was intentionally rigged to justify the creation and expansion of the H-1B visa program for the explicit purpose of destroying the salaries of high-income, high-earning professionals in the United States.
Well,
now, let's put this in context. Who wants that? Large corporations, right, that would have to hire talent and pay a market wage? They can suppress wages. They make more money. What is the entire Chinese miracle about? Offshoring labor, dumping your environmental poisons onto the land and water somewhere else, kill someone over there instead of over here because we won't let you do it over here anymore, and thereby make more money. This corruption goes all the way into the highest halls of our government. It is not a Democrat or Republican thing. It goes completely across both sides of the aisle and into all of the nonprofit scientific agencies funded by our tax dollars. We have been systematically, financially raped for the last 30 years by these people, and it has been done with the consent and intentional actions of both political parties, including Donald Trump.
Do they even know?
Yeah, they know, because the people that did this did it on, I mean, this is intentional. So here's the thing. None of this has been stopped. Now, what you're seeing here, and here's where the problem is, the Chinese miracle is run out of gas, because the problem with trying to employ slaves is that eventually they get a taste of prosperity and they get uppity.
Yeah.
Right? So now you got the uppity slaves, and this reached into Hong Kong. The people over in Hong Kong seem to think that they live in a democracy. Oops, sorry, no you don't. Guess what? The British, who had absolutely no right to sell those people into slavery, did it during the turnover with the so-called phase into Chinese rule. The PLA doesn't like this situation because they have no good answers here. What are they going to do? Go in there and kill them all? And so now all of a sudden, we have this little problem. And the Chinese have tried to maintain the illusion by cranking their debt to GDP ratio up to 400%. The entire banking system is on the verge of detonating. We throw some tariffs on things, we put a little more pressure on it, and all of a sudden, all the bad things that we've been suppressing bubble. You think it's about time the market figured this out?
Well, we also have $3 trillion of dollar-denominated debt in this country that the Chinese people hold, or that we hold, of their debt, and if they all of a sudden don't pay it, that's a lot of dough.
Well, you know, the intellectual property theft, if you look at the story of so-called Asian exceptionalism, almost all of it is BS. Virtually all of it.
Well, but we have schools here that are not accepting people from this country because they're paying more from China and they're getting ahead of our kids.
Right, but you know what? Here's goes along with that. You go to school here, and the educational institutions that are part of the NSF funding and grant cycle, all right, they cranked up their cost of getting an education by how much at the same time that the other side, which is the wages you earn after you get out, have been intentionally suppressed?
It's we need to turn this bus around, Carl, and I don't know how you do it. But why don't you say we talk about solutions next time you're on, because I don't even know where to go. I mean, it takes a long enough time to figure out where the problems is, and then you sit there and go, now what do I do?
Yeah, I think there's you know, the problem with solutions is there are none that aren't going to hurt.
Well, even the simple ones, like the new people that get elected to the House of Representatives, look to me, I saw a bunch of them on TV, Democrats, Republicans, they all look like a lot of pretty good young people, and yet they get there and they disappear. It's pretty
well, scary. Yeah, because you know, they have happened to them, what happened to the candidate that I tried to help get elected in Michigan, that and he succeeded. And then, you know, he gets there and it's like, oh, by the way, all your communications have to go through the RNC and, you know, you can't do anything that's your own. And if you do not comply, we legally can't force you to comply, but if you do not comply, you'll get no committee assignments and, by the way, you'll get primaried. He complied and he got primaried anyway.
Yeah, well, I mean,
the one term and he's out.
Well, it's, Carl, thank you very much, buddy. Every time you're on, it just means we got more to talk about. But I guess that's a good thing.
Well, that's a good thing, right?
Yep, take care of yourself, buddy. S&P futures now only down 16. That's a wowie. And NASDAQ futures down 47. Mr. David Adelman, we come back and talk about so many stocks that people are saying are good versus bad in this. I don't know how to come up with these opinions, but at least let's lob them out there. We'll be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program. as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at ptisecurities.com or feel free to email me at john@ptisecurities.com. That's john@ptisecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control. Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
Well, everyone, thanks. Stocks and jocks. I'm Tom Allen. Just about over on the board. Mr. David Adelman in a second. Hey, Luckbox Magazine, the guide to money and probability, is available on newsstands for $7.99 per issue. Stocks and Jacks listeners receive a free digital subscription at luckboxmagazine.com/jacks. We've got the new one here. I'm going to be reading it cover to cover at some point. I love the new cover. Do yourself a favor and get yourself a free subscription or buy the damn thing, for God's sake. SP Futures, up down 1550. We were down 22 at one point, so we bounced back some. Makes me think that maybe this Hong Kong airport might be going to get opening sometime soon here. Closed due to the protest. NASDAQ futures down 45. Again, that's back like 15, 20 points. Dow was only down 136. I hit it down 220. This is a half hour ago. So we're moving to the pre-market here. Over in Europe, DAX down 21.2%. FTSE down 26.3. So not down very much. CAC round down 20.4. In Asia, we got the Nikkei actually up 91 points, 0.4%. Shanghai up 40, it's 1.5%. Hang Seng down 114.4%, which is a little strange. Oil down 31 cents, 54.19. Brent down 31, 58.22, but way back from the 52 number earlier in the week. We've got gold up another 650, 15.15, so it's hanging over $15. Silver up 3 cents, 16.96. Interesting to see if that breaks 17. It has not been through 17 in a while. Bonds, 10-year, 1.69, so we're all back down again. It's down 0.04. German, minus 0.58. Matty, what do you got for us? Trevi Weather Sports.
37 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. Off to a great start on the area expressways, roadways, and tollways. No issues coming in on the Edens or Kennedy. About 50 minutes from O'Hara into downtown, which is pretty normal for this hour. Stevenson and Eisenhower, same could be said there. Normal traffic volumes, no accidents or issues to report. Southside expressways have been quiet all morning. The only crashes we have in the area are in the northern suburbs. Route 83 at Winchester Road, there's an accident. And just northwest of there, Fairfield Road at Route 120, which is Belvedere Road, there's a crash as well. But everything else looking good out there. Weather today, some haze and fog and cloud cover early this morning, and then we'll have some sunshine this afternoon. Could have some showers later on tonight. Severe thunderstorms potentially in the forecast. We'll reach a high of 80 today. Right now it's overcast and 75. In sports, or in Phoenix I should say, mostly sunny today with a high of 106. Right now it's partly cloudy and 89. Now sports. Cubs come from behind win in Cincinnati, and it was a big one. They were trailing 3-0 most of the way, rallied back to score six straight,
and they doubled up the Reds 6-3, so they split that four-game series. Cubs are 2 up on the Cardinals, 2.5 up on the Brewers, who lost yesterday. White Sox were shut out at home by the Oakland A's 2-0. Diamondbacks lost to the Dodgers 9-3. Chief.
Man, can you ever remember? I mean, I'm sure. Yeah, but David, how are you?
I'm fine.
Were teams like the Giants and even to a huge extent the Mets that you might have felt in years gone by were, you know, almost, I won't say throwing the towel, but are close to the point where they're saying, this isn't our year, and yet they seem to almost be reloading to go after his wild card spot, even though they're 4 and 5 games out of
Rockies.
Yeah.
Remember the Rockies were like 15 out and came back, and I don't know if they won their division, but they certainly got into the playoffs.
Yeah, they won the wild card that year, and I think they went all the way to the World Series.
Yeah, they did.
Lost in the World Series, but yeah, that
and they were like 15 out in August.
Right. I mean, it can happen, to David's point, and with the wild card in there and the two wild card spots, you feel like almost every team is alive right now. Even the Reds, who have been below 500 all season, are only 5 games out of a wild card spot. Giants are 3.5 out. Diamondbacks are 3 out. Phillies are 2 out. Mets are just 1 out. And then the Brewers are a half game out. They've been going back and forth with St. Louis for that second wild card spot. So there's a lot of teams in the mix in the National League.
What, Boston out or are they in? Or could they be in?
I mean, Boston is 7.5 out right now. So they're pretty,
that's unbelievable.
I mean, they're pretty much done. It would take a huge, you know, win 15 out of 18 type of run for them to get back into it.
Because
you know, you have Cleveland and Minnesota are tied for the division and the top wild card spot. So one of them will have a wild card spot, likely. Then you have the Tampa Bay Rays, who are right there. And then you have the A's, who are just a game and a half out, who just were in town against the Cubs and the White Sox this week. Boston's 6 games behind the A's. So they not only would they have to jump a couple of teams, but they got to make up a lot of ground.
So what, they just starting pitching out of the gate was just old and never came back?
Yeah, like David said, we looked at it last week, and they just were old, a lot of innings on them, and not having great years.
Wow. Well, it's all right, David, we've got all kinds of stuff to talk about. I don't know if the – now we're back down 21 points. We're just down 15. So, Matty, is the airport still closed over in Hong Kong?
I can check.
I know they canceled several hundred flights. I don't know if it's – you know, open for a few flights or not, but I know this morning they canceled several hundred, and that is why, you know, and there were economists that said it very well could dent Hong Kong's economy and lead to capital outflows, and that's why the Shanghai Composite was up and the Hang Seng was down.
The latest report here 1 minute ago says all flights are still canceled, and there are hundreds of chanting protesters in the entrance hall, but cleaners have begun to remove the piles of garbage amassed around the trash cans while leaving the hundreds of posters and leaflets attached to the walls and barriers. So they're returning the airport back to normal, but all the flights are still grounded.
All right, so I have to ask the question. Let's just say a world traveler kind of guy, big shot in his new firm, you know, guy like Matty Weber. You plop your behind on a thing here, and you got a 17-hour flight or 20-hour flight to Hong Kong nonstop, and you're halfway there, and they close the airport. What happens to Matty Weber?
They probably have to divert to somewhere else, and he probably has to get ground transportation, I would guess.
All right, but he's over Russia, because that's where his flight has to go to get there. You land at Vladivostok, or where the hell are you going?
I have no idea. I mean, who knows? Maybe Thailand? I don't know.
I don't either. I don't think I'd want to be on that flight, for one.
No.
All right, David, we have a bunch of, let's put it this way, whatever this means. CNBC did a deep dive through the most recent Wall Street research. We talked about this earlier with Steph. They named, they think the adverse reaction to the newest tariff will include Dollar Tree, Abercrombie & Fitch, Rio Tinto, O'Reilly Automotive, Michael's Companies, Advanced Micro, and NVIDIA. No word on Boeing or no word on Apple. What do you make of that? I don't think they're public, but how does IKEA not get in there? But everything they have is Chinese. I don't know. How does Walmart not have a problem, I guess?
Supposedly, I'm no expert on any of that, being frank, but supposedly Walmart has diverted some of their supply chain, and I don't know, maybe backdooring it. Maybe there's a way they have goods sent to, from China to Canada, and then pull it in. I don't know the answer, but there was a tout over the weekend that not necessarily that Walmart could escape, but literally when the tariffs were announced, they made supply chain changes.
Well, I mean, I'm sure that they're spending overtime on it. I mean, I don't know
sure.
about that. I just don't know that anybody. Is not a loser in here somewhere.
Everybody is. And you know what? I'm not saying it's impossible. I think it's remote. But I'm not saying it's impossible that at least a skeleton of a deal, even if it's a bad deal or a peripheral deal, couldn't happen as soon as next month. Possible. I'd say unlikely. But, on the other side of the rainbow or dredges, whatever you want to look at it as, it could get far worse. There were touts that Trump's just begun, and if there's big movement from the Chinese, he could go to 45% on everything.
You get the feeling that he thinks the tariffs are a positive thing for us here. He's the only
whether he does or doesn't. That's what he's saying.
Right. Well, most people you would like to take at their word.
Say that. Most people are not necessarily him.
Right. But if he really believes that, you just wonder someday I'm going to find out who made this quote. No man can do just one thing, David. There's a plus and a minus to sort of everything everybody does, unfortunately.
Yep.
I've been aware, marginally aware. I was never in import-export business or anything like that. Marginally aware of the Chinese habits since my mother's cousin went over there, since we had people here from the agricultural department, guest thing and so forth. They can look at things a little different. We have had some people associated with PTI that years ago that were in the cash grain business. And, sold them grain, and then the way over there, the price went down, and they don't want it. I mean, it's their way of doing business. I was going to say it's very Trumpian, which it's sort of.
Well, they don't hold to agreements.
Well, it's very, very Trumpian.
As far back as when they were admitted to the WTO.
Yeah. I mean,
they don't.
But now you've got this thing going, over a period of years. Now, is the guy selling, I'll show my age, a guy selling Beatles albums? Should he be pissed because everybody in China has got a Beatles album and they didn't pay me anything? Probably. But nobody cared about him, evidently. Microsoft, how many Microsoft offices are there going on in China without them selling them to them? But then again, Microsoft has been allowed to have a monopoly here, so it's kind of hard to feel sorry for them, right? I mean, even though they probably are getting screwed by the Chinese or have been for 30 years. Then a guy from Coca-Cola thinks, hey, what are you talking about? There's a billion people over there sipping a Coke a day. And the Kentucky Fried Chicken says, hey, wait a minute, there's more pictures of the Colonel than there are a mile. it's very uneven. And when you start going sort of after it, you wonder, at the end of the day, what are you actually gaining and what did you actually lose in the fight? I mean, it's one thing to get into a full-blown fist fight where both sides lose teeth and have broken jaws and black eyes, even if you win, I guess if your family is now safe, it might be worth it. If it just means the guy trims a bush you didn't like a little lower, I don't know if it was worth it. Do you? I mean, there's a lot of. I mean, were we?
There's pain near term. Let's face it.
And the question is, what are we? What is the end game that says it's worth the pain? Now, you'd like to trust your leadership and say they know enough. In the meantime, to do that, I don't trust Peter Navarro as much as far as I could throw myself. I mean,
no, I get that, but I mean, at least philosophically, psychologically, economically, and I'm not trying to give deference to Navarro or Trump or anything like that. But the issues that are on the table certainly. At least, again, philosophically, I'm not saying they could ever be achieved because, telling China not to, support or defend or, you know, pressure their own currency. You know, those kind of things are not likely to happen. And, you know, as far as, you know, injecting liquidity into their markets to try and, you know, benefit and discourage competition, I mean, that's not likely to happen. But if you say, hey, this is a long shot, but it's possible, long shots occasionally do come in, whether it's intellectual property or, you know, forced technology transfer or, you know, cyber attacks or whatever. I mean, those are, you know, really wonderful goals. How far you could go towards achieving them, I don't know. And let's just say, for sake of argument, you had a long-term crystal ball that you could get, you know, half or three quarters of what you're looking for. It's likely to take a lot of time. You're not going to get these folks to change the way they've done business for 30 years and try to boost themselves up the economic ladder, which they've been highly successful at, you know, in 6 months or a year or 2 years. It's going to take 6 to 10 years, and then I'd guess that you'd be lucky to achieve 50 to 75% of what you want.
All right, so say suppose you and I are sitting there in some authoritative spot, and instead of having your, whatever he is, chief advisor come out and absolutely eviscerate the Jay Powell and the Federal Reserve Friday night like this guy Navarro did, saying that because the rates are high, the dollar's too strong and it needs to be lower, and then the next minute he's basically ragging on the Chinese for being currency manipulators. Do we assume that our population is that dumb that they don't pick up that? And sentence one, we're trying to manipulate ours, and we're accusing the other guys of manipulating theirs. It's sentence two. Are we just hoping that this is over enough people's heads that nobody pays attention to this? I mean, I'm going to say if the situation with China is this bad. By the way, I happen to think it might be, in terms of they're the only place on earth that's actually building a army and navy that's capable of challenging us. I would say here would be my stuff. It would be no tariffs, David. There'd be none of that stuff. I'd say, okay, guess what? We're not allowing Chinese students over here in graduate programs, which of course would take the University of Illinois and a bunch of these other guys. They'd be wringing their hands. What do you mean they're paying more than the people in Illinois, and we're not letting people in Illinois in here?
How about Duke?
Yeah, how about, I mean, so that would be, here would be the chief's three things. If we're pissed off at China, here's what I would do. Okay, no more students, all right, which will eviscerate half our educational institutions because they're so fat they need this money just to survive. Secondly, I'd throw out a list of 250 things that say if you give Chinese the plans to any of this stuff, you're going to jail because this is really a war. And three, I would say no Chinese companies get to buy more than 49% of a U.S. company just like they do. And if they buy and become a shareholder, you can't open the door and give them a tour of the plant, and let them, you know, essentially take pictures of the plant and redo it at home. If I was serious about it, that's what I would do.
I don't think that I find fault with any of that.
So what are we doing with the terrorists punishing our people? I mean, what do they have to do with anything? Is roundabout punishment?
And some of your suggestions, like the students and whatever, you know, hey. And I don't want to poke fun or whatever, but I've been to Duke many times and toured there, you know, a lot with my children when we were campus hopping and whatever. And, you know, they have a huge, I mean, it's not all Chinese. There's plenty of Japanese and Thai and the like, so I'm not trying to be a racist either. But they have an enormous, for a top-notch institution, an enormous Asian population. And I don't know what percentage are Chinese, but I'd say, I would guess, maybe even 10-12% of their entire school. You know what? So fine. So what if Duke's ratings went down a little bit, but they opened the door to needy kids who they could really educate and lift up from, you know, the depths? I would think that would be a great long-term benefit.
It was this young lady in obviously a flummoxed kind of mood just a long time ago at the Tripoli, and I said, you seem upset about something. What's going on? It had something to do with her job and blah, blah, blah. And she goes, you probably don't even know what I do or something. And I go, try me. I've read a book without pictures at least once. and she goes, well, I'm an actuary. I said, exactly what you do. You do all the math for insurance companies and everything else. How do you know that? I said, I think most people probably know that. Well, she told me she went to the University of Illinois, and she was, there were 14, 15 people in the graduate program, and there were three people from Illinois, and the other 12 were from Philippines and Thai and China.
Sure.
And paying top dollar.
Yep.
And, you know, I'm not, I don't want people to be turned away, but I also don't want the state of Illinois to pay money to a university that has so much fat in it, some people making so much money that you can't educate people from Illinois because you get more money from people overseas. And then you have a government who's so stupid that they're instead of taking care of that, they're gonna charge tariffs on you and say that somehow that's the solution. I mean, I don't.
Oh, and by the way, China's paying for it.
Yeah, no, by the way, China's paying for it. You think it's possible, David? I mean, it's not possible for me, but do you think, and again, we would never, even if we felt this way, we would never talk about it on the show, do you think it is possible to identify 10 firms that are really in the crosshairs on this? I would have said Apple and Boeing, but they're not on anybody's list. It'd be on my own list.
I don't know if that's true. No, I mean, we don't want them to be in the crosshairs, but you better believe that Xi and his compadres, I use the term loosely, are saying, hey, if this gets bad, let's just say for sake of argument that Trump goes to 25% on anything and the Chinese don't budge, and then all of a sudden he says, okay, on $100 billion it's 45% or whatever. You better believe that Boeing and Apple are going to be, you know, targeted.
Well, how can you separate Boeing's tariff issues, if at all, because they're exporting, right? So there's no export tariffs. How do you separate that from the fact they can't deliver these planes? I mean, how much of the stock going down is one to the other? How does anybody know? I sure don't.
It's both.
Well, I know that, but I mean, I don't know.
I don't know that you can apportion it. No, I mean, at this particular point, where you know China has said, "Well, we'll consider Airbus, but you know, we're not going to at this point cancel anything," or you know, "We'll take a look in February, and everything better be in the air by that time, or we will consider canceling." You know, at this particular point, the majority of it is getting the plane in the air, and what kind of other liabilities for lost business to Europe and the like are they going to face? That's the majority of it. Is 10% or 15%, you know, of the stock's price decline, you know, oriented towards, oh, whoops, what if China and other Asian countries cancel purchases altogether and move to Airbus, or just, you know, try and maintain what they have or repair or get them flyable? I don't know the answer to that. I don't think anyone does.
Well, if you look at Boeing's, from what little I know, and again, it's little knowledge is dangerous, because I did a lot of analysis on the subject both before and after, so I had the advantage of being post-mortem. When the Pullman had the tremendous delays in delivering the Amtrak cars, the one that you still see flying around Amtrak, the double deckers, I was very aware of how quick money started to pile up, and how people you're paying, and all of a sudden you couldn't deliver, and then you couldn't move cars out of the line, so you couldn't get guys not doing much, and your labor efficiency goes from 80 to 40 to 30, and you're renting warehouses to put seats in, and you had trucks all over the damn place. You had to put new rails in outside just to hold the trucks. And we're talking about something very, very minor. I mean, there's probably 10,000 parts in a railroad car. There's probably, you know, half a million in a 737.
Right.
I mean, we're not even on the same planet. I mean, in terms of complexity, but I mean, who's ever making the landing gears? I mean, does that person have the capability of slowing down? Is Boeing paying everybody? Are they still taking delivery? Where the hell are they putting it? I'm sure that they're a god when it comes to just-in-time inventory. Now what do you do? I mean, I'm going to say...
No, there have been photos and video clips of whatever, of putting them in parking lots.
I mean, I just don't... I mean, if we push this till, you know, if we're talking next February, either they stop producing, which has a massive amount of problems, or you keep producing. As big as Boeing is, the government keep giving them money for stuff like the B-52 refits and so forth. I don't know. I think that they got to be in trouble, David. But I'm not gonna say, gee, you know, Chief says
and yet you know 325, 330 so far, maybe at 305 today has held regardless of the news.
Yeah.
It's been a 325 to 380 market for months and months and months and months.
Well, I mean.
I'm surprised how well it's held, considering how terrible the news is.
But I don't know whether my knowledge of that happening to a firm I worked at in the past is means I know more than other people and I'm more nervous than they are, or it means that I was with a company that didn't have the pockets Boeing did, and Boeing's going to come out of this smelling like a rose. I mean, I honestly don't know the answer to that. Seems
no,
to me
I
that
don't. Would,
I mean, I don't know.
I just think that there's other issues like liability for lost business that they face.
All right, Dave, we'll talk about it more on Thursday, bud.
Okay.
SP Futures down now 1550. We've been 2250, 1550, back and forth a couple times. We're on the high end. NASDAQ down 45. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks.
Hey, guys. What's up, G? Want to go to Tchotchke's? Get some coffee?
Oh, it's a little early.
I got to get out of here. I think I'm going to lose it.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.